that is blind. And it says that he is blind because he has forgotten that he was purged from his old works. I don't know about you, but I've been in this thing a little while, but I haven't forgotten where I came from. I haven't forgotten the pit that he drug me out of. I hadn't forgot grace that found me in my misery and in my shame. I hadn't forgot about it. I love it. It gets richer and richer. It gets greater and greater. Is there a witness in the house? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be found among the righteous, the redeemed, the saved? Praise God. Glory to God. What a wonderful day to be in the house. And obviously, if you don't know, the pastor is not here. And we encourage you to pray for them as they travel. They are on the road, and we miss them. We miss them when they're not here. But I feel the strength of the prayers of my pastor. I'm going to tell you, that's one thing I do in my prayer on a regular basis is I pray for my pastor. And I pray that a hedge would be placed around my pastor and that he'd be protected and that he'd be enriched and that the word of God would be multiplied in his life. And I want to say thanks for everything that they've done, he's done. Here and in our lives, I'm thankful to have a mentor. I'm thankful to have somebody to look towards and to look to that I want to be like. Hey, there's a lot of heroes in this world. People have a lot of heroes that they're looking to. They're looking to worldly heroes, secular heroes, business heroes, sports heroes, whatever hero there is. But there's no hero like a man that would be willing to deliver the word of God without fear, without favor, without compromise, who's not a hireling that's in it for the money or in it for pride or in it for some type of control. No, he's humble and he's real. I love the man of God. I look at the heroes in the Bible. I look at the faithful, the ones that held fast when in trials and tribulations. That's a true hero. Well, glory to God. I don't know if you realize this, but I just can't be cool. I can't be calm when it comes to the things of God. When I got into this thing, I came into this thing running. I came into this thing shouting. I came into this thing giving all I got. I'm not slowing up. I'm not backing up. I'm not cooling off now. Hey, I might be 40 plus years old. You watch me when I'm 80, baby. Because it gets better. You cannot exhaust the depths of the knowledge of God. If I've come to a plateau, T, it's my own responsibility. It's not him. But if I've come to a plateau, Sister Charlotte, I've got to do what it takes to bust the seams of that thing. I got to take it back to where I once was in worship, in praise, in fervency. Oh, the enemy will say, hey, you've been in this thing 10, 15, 20, 30 years. It's time to settle down and back off and sit and let the young folk do it. I defy that spirit. Woo, come on. Somebody shout amen. There's power in an amen. The scripture says, here is the spirit of faith. He said, I speak, I believe, therefore I speak. He identifies that being the spirit of faith. He said, I hear, I believe, and therefore I speak. We're in an apostolic Pentecostal service right now. We're not in a professor. I'm not a professor in a college classroom right now. I'm not giving you a lecture or some fancy dissertation. I come to preach the word of God. Has anybody got faith in this house? If you got faith, then when y'all say the word, you'll say amen. You'll say I believe it. You'll say preach it. You'll say I receive it. That's a demonstration of your faith. Okay. Good. Yeah, that's all good. I can get fired up with the music or without the music. The nightclub's got a good beat, right? And they dance and shout, but there ain't no beat and there ain't no shout that can match the word of God, the Holy Ghost, the fire that's inside of me. Well, if you can't tell, I'm having fun about right now. Praise God. Let's go to the scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hey, Josh, go on up there with your long arms and take the batteries out of that clock so they'll think it's still only 10 to 8. They'll say, my God, he stopped the sun for him right there. Stop time. All together. You're not doing it. What's brother-in-law good for? All right, Hebrews 10, verse 35, and it reads, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. I come to talk just a little while on the subject, promises worth fighting for. Promises worth fighting for. Is there anybody in this house that you got a little moxie within your spirit and you got a little fight left within your spirit and said, hey, I come to this ring. I hadn't come to be a spectator. I hadn't come to just watch the entertainment. I haven't come just for a show. I come to get in the ring and fight. How many know this living for God isn't just sitting back, but it's fighting, it's a violence, it's active, it's a militance. And if you're gonna gain ground in the spirit, then you gotta be willing to fight. If you've lost the fight, then you've already lost the battle. Boy, I'm reminded of that old boy. David's a mighty man. And the scripture says that he went down into a pit, Brother Cedric, on a snowy day, and he speared a lion. He killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. What in the world is that good for? I don't know. I've never had lion meat. You ever had lion steak? I don't know. Maybe that was some fancy, you know, caviar to them back then. But I never had it. But I just see that old boy sitting in his house, warming by the fire, and there's no fighting going on outside. There's no battle going on. So he says, you know what? I got so much fight within me, I'm going to look for a fight. Hey, the army might not be on the battlefield right now, but I bet you I'll find something I can fight. Right. He got to looking around outside of his house and he saw this pit. He heard some type of growl and a roar in that pit. He looked down there. It was a big, burly lion. He said, yep, I'll take him on because I got the fight within me. Because I'm willing to fight. I'm not worried about getting bloody and getting bruised and getting battered. Because I'm willing to take a risk. Because I know it's on the other side of risk. The other side of risk is victory. The other side of risk is triumph. The other side of risk is promise. Hey, anybody in here feel that way? If you don't, then I hope you do by the end of this night. Where you just say, hey, I wake up in the morning and I put my shoes on and I'm ready to fight. Woo! All right, well, you can sit, stand, run, jump, whatever you want to do. I should have brought a spear. You know, those object lessons, they keep you remembering stuff. If I had me a big old spear, you'd remember this even better. Promises worth fighting for. Paul tells Timothy, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. He says in the preceding verse, endure hardness as a good soldier. Now you're in this house and you've been born of water and you've been born of spirit and you're living for God and you're walking his ways and you're a son and you're a daughter and you're a child and you're a royal priesthood. But it's more than that. You're a soldier in the kingdom of heaven. You're a soldier on the battlefield. We got a war out there, and I'm telling you, there's some soldiers in this place this evening. He said, I have chosen you as a soldier. Now, I've heard it said before, and I understand the perspective. I understand where they come from. And they said this church is a voluntary army. But see, I take umbrage against that because I understand in the scripture that I'm in this house tonight because I'm chosen of God. I'm not in this house just out of blind circumstance. I'm not in this house just because I stumbled up in here one day and, ho, look what I found. No, God was looking for me. God had his finger looking for me. God was talking to me. God saw me in my mama's womb. God saw me when I was in drugs. God saw me when I was lost and undone. God saw me when I was involved in wickedness and perversion. And he said, I got something for you. That's one of my soldiers right there. If you're in this house and the adversary and the enemy tries to make you think that you're unworthy, think that you're not capable, think that you're some little I's and big U's and all these things, thinks you're some little component in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you're in this place, you're marching in the soldier in the army of the Lord. God has chosen you. God has his hand on you. And God has a purpose for you. It's not a voluntary army. God has drafted you into his kingdom for such a time as this. Hey, all right, I'm not negating the will. I'm not negating your will. Whosoever will can come to the kingdom, can come to the Lord. But Sister Maria, he knows my will. He knows my response. He knows what I'm going to do. And from the beginning of the earth, he put his finger on me and you. And says, I have appointed you in my army. Praise God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're in God's army. We're God's soldiers. You can run. You can hide. You can try to stay amongst the stuff and just be a casual Christian. And just try to ride the wave with everybody else. But I'm telling you right now, there's a call of God in this place. And he says, I want you to step out. I want you to come out. I want you to step out and take up the sword and take up the arms of the kingdom of heaven. Right, right. I see Uriah back there. I'm thinking of a man who got called off the battlefield, Brother Hagedorn. He got called off the battlefield to try to be influenced by David's infraction. And he got called off the battlefield, and David said, go on home. Go on home and rest. Get you a little R&R, you know. You need it. You've been working hard. You've been fighting. You've been battling. You've been representing the armies of Israel. Go home, get you a little R&R. Oh, Uriah said, I don't think so, baby. I'm not going to sit around while my brothers are fighting. I'm not going to take my ease while my brothers are fighting. You're not going to do that to me. I can't do it because I got the fight in me. And I'm a soldier in the living army of God. I've heard it said before, it's not the size of the man, but it's the size of the fight that's within him. Praise God. We're living in the last hour. We're living in the last times. We're living in desperate times. God is calling his army to rise up. It's not a time to be apathetic. It's not a time to be despondent. It's not a time to say, hey, well, you know what? When I get to be so-and-so age, or when I get all these things fitting just right in the box of my life, then I'll get on the battlefield and I'll start fighting the fight. No, 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 no. It's not that time. The hour's late. The people are hungry. There's a great need in this city. There's people that are dying. And they're waiting for somebody who will fight. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. There's none like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus calls us to have a desperation to fight. Calls us to have the willingness to fight. Calls us to have the courageousness and the bravery to step out and expose ourselves and be willing to be inconvenienced and to step onto the battlefield and take up arms against the enemy in this city. Praise God. Praise God. Promises worth fighting for. Paul told his son Timothy, he said, Timothy, I charge you. Son Timothy, I charge you that according to the prophecies that went before on you, that thou mightest war a good warfare. I'm going to read that verse to you again. But I'm going to read it to you, if I can get to it real quick. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. It's 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge and admonition I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you. Paul said, I received prophetic intimations. The King James says, the prophecies that went on before you. What is another word for this? He received promises for what God was going to do in his son and his protege, Timothy. He said, I received these prophetic intimations which I've formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare. He said, these prophecies, or these promises, if you please, are going to be the inspiration and what aids you so that you might war a good warfare. So, What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that the promises of God that we have been given, they are simply divine intentions of what God wants to do in your life. Promises are divine intentions of what God wants to do in your life. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't happen where I just stumble in and all of a sudden, you know, I'm out of my mind and I end up landing and I fall into heaven. My God, I made it to paradise. Gates of pearl and golden streets and all these things, all this glory and this wonder and everything. It's not going to happen that way. I'm going to get there because I got a made up mind, because I'm willing to fight, because I'm willing to go through tribulation, because I'm willing to go through storms, and I understand where God's taking me. You're not going to stumble into heaven or hell. You're going to get there by the decisions and by the will and by the courageousness and by the tenacious persistence that says, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to be there by accident. I'm going to be there because I've made my mind up and I've planned and I've walked the walk. It's the same way with the promises of God. You don't twist God's arm to fulfill the promises, but you fight for their fulfillment. Come on, you don't twist God's arm. He said, I'm giving you a promise. Paul said, out of those promises, God gives you the promises so that you can understand, you can get them in your spirit, and that will give you the moxie, the faith to fight for their fulfillment. So the promises aren't just simply going to fall in your lap. God gives them to you to inspire you to see their fulfillment, to realize, to actualize those promises. I lost my train. I want to make sure my voice is hanging around. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm thinking of a man. You all know him? The light of Israel. David. And I see him, Brother Ronnie. I see him on that battlefield, in that valley. And that giant is coming before the armies of Israel. And he's defying the armies of Israel. He's challenging the armies of Israel. And the young man, this youth, shows up to the battlefield. He's not necessarily in the army. He's too young possibly to be in the army. It's not his place. He shows up on the field. He hears this man coming out of the Philistine camp defying the armies of Israel. What is it? What is it that causes him to stand up and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would come and defy the armies of Israel? What is it that would cause him to say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to fight? Is there not a cause to step out, to try, to move, to engage the enemy? What it was, that's chapter 17. In the preceding chapter, in verse 16, Samuel would be mourning and weeping for Saul. God would come to him and say, what in the world are you doing, Samuel? Why are you mourning for Saul like that? I've rejected him already. He said, I've rejected him. Go down to Jesse's house. Go down to Jesse's house and find this young man. Take your cruse of oil and anoint him. I have chosen him to be the king of Israel. So David, in chapter 17, walks on the scene. And he stands before this mammoth of a man. He tells the armies of Israel and Saul previously, he said, I'm going to go fight him. I'll take the charge. I'll go fight him. They said, what in the world are you talking about, man? You've lost your mind. You're a youth. You're a kid. And Goliath was a man of war from his youth. The enemy wants to tell somebody, you're too young, or you're not equipped enough, you hadn't learned enough, you hadn't got enough word, you hadn't been exposed to this thing enough to come against the principality in this city. He wants to tell you, you can't make it, you can't fight the armies of the demonic presences that are in this city, the principalities, the powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not equipped enough. But is there anybody in this place that would say, I know what the word says. If I got the Holy Ghost, I got power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, you're but a youth. What in the world are you thinking? I can just see it now. I can see it now. The Spirit of the Lord comes on David and said, David was reminded when Samuel came and poured that oil on his head and said, you're going to be anointed. I'm anointing you as the man of Israel, as the king of Israel. So David sits there and looks. If Goliath beats up the Israelites, if he takes our land and takes our people, there won't be a place for a king. There will be no need for a king in Israel. So he goes before the fight and he already knows who's going to win. He hastes to the valley. He runs to the battle because he already knows who's going to win, because he's got a promise. Wait a minute. God didn't say that you wouldn't have to fight for it. It's the promise that gives you the moxie, that gives you the fight, that gives you the faith, that says, I'm willing to engage the enemy. Because there's a promise worth fighting for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Is there somebody in this place that says, I'm willing to take up the cause. I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to fight. I'm not laying. Hey, somebody's sword has gotten rusty. Somebody's arms and your shield and your helmet has gotten rusty. But I got a call in this place tonight that says, put it, wash it off, scrub it down, because there's a fight to fight, because God's given us some promises, and we're not going to get those promises if we're not willing to fight. The enemy would love for us to sit back and think that God's just going to do it without us, our involvement. He'd love for to think, he wants us to believe it, that we just sit back and just wait on God to do it without any involvement ourselves. I'm telling you, just like Paul told Timothy, there's some promises in your life. There's some promises with this church. There's some promises in this city, but they're not going to come unless somebody's willing to fight the fight to bring them to pass. I can't sit at home on Facebook. I can't sit at home looking at shopping. I can't sit at home reading my fiction novel, and if it compromises my time to fight. Hey, you do all that if you got time. But if it takes away from your time to get on the battlefield and realize the promise, then you need to kick it out of your house. Praise God. Somebody clap your hands. I'm talking about promises worth fighting for. I'm talking about that the promises aren't going to come if you're unless you're willing to fight for them. I'm reminded of Moses. He comes to Pharaoh and he knows that God's going to deliver the people. He comes to Pharaoh and he knows that God's about to do a work. Pharaoh plays games with Moses time and time and time again. And finally, Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, all right, I tell you what, I'll let you do what you want to do. I'll let you go and worship your God, but I'll just keep the cattle here. I'll just keep all your cattle here in Egypt, but you go ahead and you do what you want to do, and I'm going to go ahead and grant you permission to do so. Oh, Moses bows up within him because God told him it's all coming out. Moses bows up and says, I tell you what, we're not leaving one hoof in Egypt. We're not leaving one hoof in Egypt. What am I telling you? I'm not leaving one promise unfulfilled. I don't want half promise. I don't want a quarter of the promise. I don't want three quarters of the promise. I want all the promise. I want to see it all. Come on, somebody say, we're not leaving one promise in Egypt. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. They come out of Israel. Excuse me. They come out of Egypt, heading toward the promised land. As they cross the River Jordan after their time, 40 years in the wilderness, after the generation of unbelief and doubt dies out, under the unction and the leadership of Joshua, they come to the promised land. And Joshua begins to divide up the land. And he does that. He divides it up to all the tribes. And in this process, Brother Cedric, the boys of Joseph come up to Joshua, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they say, Joshua, we're a great people. We're a great people. And this little lot that you have given us is too small for us. Because we're a great people. We're a mighty people. They said this little section, this little 100 by 100 section is too small for us. What's the size of this building? Anybody know? Not a soul in the house. That was the size of this building. They said this little lot of ground, this little parcel of ground isn't sufficient for such a great people. Joshua says, okay, you're a great people. I tell you what, you go take that mountain. They said, wait a minute, Joshua. We're great and all, you know, but there's giants on that mountain. Joshua said, you go take, you cut down the wood, you take the forest area, you take the enemy's land. if you're a great people. He said, this is exactly what Joshua said. He said, if you are a great people, then you go take that mountain. And they're like, oh, well, you know, I said we were a great people and all, but I didn't know you were going to want us to do that. Bro, Warren, I mean, we fought some giants, but that's the parasites up there, bro. I mean, those cats are bad. And besides that, those guys have iron chariots. I mean, they got tanks that'll... I can't remember that German tank that just destroyed them all. You know, they were all afraid of that German tank, man. They hear the rumble of that tank coming down the road. Usher fear. Ephraim and Manasseh said, wait a minute. Now, we're great people and all. And this land, you got, you know, it's a little small for us because we're such a great people. But I don't know about all that. Those people have eaten their enemies for lunch. And I see the prophet Joshua as he's talking to Ephraim and Manasseh. And I see it in my mind's eye. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon the prophet Joshua. And he says to Ephraim and Manasseh, formerly it was if you are a great people. And he says to Ephraim and Manasseh this time, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him and says, Ephraim and Manasseh, you are a great people and you have great power and you shall take that mountain. I don't care that there's giants up there. I don't care that they got iron chariots or not. You're going to have that mountain. I have given you that mountain this day. Oh, come on, somebody. There's a mountain standing in our way. There's a mountain standing in our way in this city right now. And I'm telling you, this lot, this plot, this section of ground that we're on right now is too small for us. Come on, do you believe you're a great people? Do you believe you have great power? Or is this all a sham? Come on, he said, I'm giving you that mountain. And I see Ephraim and Manasseh now under the unction of a promise. Now they got a promise. Before, they were scared. They were fearful. And they didn't know whether they could take it or not. But now they got a promise. Now they got a proclamation. Joshua says, you're a great people. You got great power. You're going to do it. Now go do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's God going to do with you? What's God going to promise us? What has he already promised this body, this local assembly? What are we doing right now? Praying for a church on a... I'll go ahead and call it a mountain. It's a mountain in Florida, right? It's all a matter of perspective, right? It's relative. I want to ask somebody in this place, are you willing to fight for the fulfillment of the promise? Are you willing to look at that mountain and say, I'm armed with a promise. I got a promise that God's going to do it. I got a promise that there's going to be great outpouring in this city. I got a promise, Brother Terry, that masses of bus people... bus kids are coming. I got a promise, Brother George, that the Hispanic Latino community is going to explode with revival. But wait a minute. Is it just going to come because we want it? No, it's going to come because somebody's willing to fight. All right. You know, sometimes the devil will be your adversary. Sometimes he'll come and he'll resist you. And he'll bring tribulation on you. But Brother Warren, it's not always the devil that brings it. Your God, who loves you and died for you, if he has to, he will bring hardship, tribulation to you to fulfill his purpose. I'm thinking about the hindrances to somebody's unwillingness and what causes them not to fight. They hear the promise. They see it. They feel the inspiration. But they can't moxie the strength to commit. I'm going to tell you right now, it would be a blessing for God to send you tribulation in your life if somebody is in that spot. I want to make it clear right now that I got this microphone. I don't want to make that too clear. You already saw that, right? Woo! Oh, I'm smart. Smart like that. But I'm delivering this under the unction of God. And I'm not pointing my fingers at anybody. Because as the Spirit of the Lord moves, the way it works is it comes out and then it returns back to me. So I'm not standing up here trying to act like I'm somebody and I don't need God and I got it all together. But I am up here saying that God is admonishing us to be willing to get into the fight. I'm telling you that we can have that mountain. God's telling us, I'm giving you that mountain. You're a great people. You got great power. But are you willing to take on the giants in this city? Are you willing to not be afraid of the iron chariots? Job said, I was at ease. He said, oh man, I was had it going on, man. I had a hedge of God around me. I was protected. I was blessed. I was living it up, you know, blessed and highly favored. You know what I'm saying? He said, I was rolling, baby. And then, I didn't realize it right then, but now I realize it. I was at ease. I quit fighting. I laid down the sword. It had gotten rusty. He said, I was just at ease. And he broke me asunder. He said, the Lord took down the hedge. And he broke me asunder. He said he took me by the neck and he shook me to pieces. And he set a mark on me. He said, I'm going to find you in a crowd. You can't hide. You can't hide. This isn't condemnation. You can't hide from what God wants you to do. You don't want to hide. God has chosen you. God has picked you out of the crowd. and he's calling you. Come on, somebody, why don't you settle it right now? Why don't you make a determination right now? Why don't you get persuaded right now? I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna realize the promise. There's some promises worth fighting for, and I'm not gonna sit back. I'm not gonna get bogged down by the world. I'm not gonna let the enemy distract me. I'm not gonna get so busy in this carnal life, trying to get my house, trying to have the nicest ride, trying to have impress my buddies on the job. No, sir. No, sir. There's a war to fight. There's a battle to get involved in. I'm willing. I'm ready. Somebody ought to settle it right now and say, I'm up to the task, and I'll fight. I'll fight. I'll fight. Praise you, Jesus. What are some promises? What are some promises? Isaiah 49:25, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Hey, is that promise worth fighting for? Is that promise worth fighting for? This world wants to take your children and use them for their ways. They want to take your children and destroy their lives and their souls. But I got a promise that he's going to save my babies. I'm asking you, is that promise worth fighting for right now? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Anybody got any needs in this house? Anybody got anything you want to see God do? He ain't going to just drop it in your lap. He's not just going to give it to you just because. He's giving you a promise. He's showing you what he can do in your life because he wants you to have the moxie. He wants you to become the stimuli to put you in your knees in battle. What am I talking about all this fighting? What am I saying? The way we fight is in prayer. Come on, somebody. The way we fight is on our knees in prayer. I got a dream, and I want to tell you what my dream is. I'm going to tell it real quick, okay? Okay, you can say it's a pipe dream, whatever you want to, okay? But I got a dream that the spirit of prayer that would become so powerful amongst this local assembly that in the pre-service prayer session, prior to a service, somebody would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody would feel such a mighty flow of the spirit that they begin to weep and repent and cry out for God because of the spirit of prayer that's so powerful in this place. I want to know, do you have any fight within you to pray? Is there somebody that says, I'm not letting the world take my babies. I'm not letting the world take my promises. I'm not letting the world steal my revival. I'm willing to take that mountain in prayer. Come on, Lindsay. I'm out of time already. Josh didn't do his job. Come on, that's some promises worth fighting for. We don't make God do them. We don't make him do them. We don't twist his arm, but we fight for their fulfillment. They will not be fulfilled without a fight. They will not be brought into fruition without a fight. All right, we're going to do something a little different. Praise team can go ahead and come on up. Right now, I want you to think about some promises that God's given you. I got a long list of promises. But I want you to think about some promises that God has told you and prophesied in your life. Is there anybody that, as we think about those and we entertain those, we can confess and testify and say, Lord, I thought you were just going to do it. But I understand now that you gave me these promises because you wanted me to fight for them. You gave me these promises so that it would inspire me to fight for their fulfillment. He said, I sought for a man to take up the hedge. He said, I sought for a man to take up the hedge that I would not have to pour out my wrath among the disobedient, among the people. He said, but I found none. One man, Brother Warren. One man. He didn't say I sought for men. He said I sought for one man to take up the hedge, to be inconvenienced to come to Tuesday night prayer, to be inconvenienced to be here 30 minutes before prayer, before service to pray. He said, but I couldn't find anybody to do it in Israel. He said, therefore, I poured out my wrath. You see, you have to understand that it's God's will that none perish and all come to repentance. But he has charged his church to pray the prayer so that he can send forth the revival, the mercy. He will not do it because it's his will. He leaves it up to the church to bring it into fruition. He puts it in his body's hands and tells us, I want you to have that mountain. I want you to see that outpouring. But I'm not going to do it without you fighting for it. Because there's a giant in this city that says, you can't have it. You're not going to do it. You're not bad enough or big enough to do it. But I got a promise. It may look impossible. Goliath may look like, whatever, how tall he was. So 9, 12, there's all kind of interpretations over it. And I'm a little pipsqueak. But you see, I got a promise. I'm going to be king. I can't be king if there's no kingdom. So I know your head's coming off, buddy. All right, let's stand. We're going to, real fast, we're going to do something a little different. I think that the hindrances to this, I hope if you haven't already settled it, you settle it quickly. And that you say, I'm willing. All right. I'm going to tell you right now, age has nothing to do with this. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You see, what happens is when you're young, the enemy tells you you're inexperienced. People won't respect you. People won't hear you. That's why Paul has to encourage the youth. It says, let no man despise your youth. If you're young and you're armed up with the gospel, you are wiser than the CEO on the top of the skyscraper who doesn't know this truth. And when you get older, the enemy will tell you, oh, you've done a good job. You've lived this thing. You've prayed the prayer. Leave it to the young people now. They'll take up the banner. They'll go underneath the load. No, sir. No, sir. Has my arm not been revealed? Have I not been made known? The Lord is he that never wearies. And he never faints. And he gives might to the weak. Even the youth shall faint, and the young shall utterly fall. But they that wait. Wait a minute. The they's not the youth. The they is anybody who will say, I understand my weakness, but I got a promise from you. And I'm going to take that promise, and I'm going to stand in the face of that principality, and I'm going to bind him up so that the spirit of revival can sweep this land. Here's what I want you to do. I'm about to open this altar up. I don't want you to come and pray out of any feeling of condemnation. I'm telling you, God, if you're in this place right now, God has chosen you. God has his hands on you. God has drafted you into this warfare business. He has called you into this warfare business. when I open up this altar, I want you to come and I want you to speak words of authority. What are you talking about, Reggie? What are you talking about? I want you to speak words of authority. I want you to say, according to the power that is within me, I want you to say, the enemy, you got a lost child, you got a lost loved one, you got something, hindering forces that are coming against you, you got a situation, I'm telling you, you got power, and one of the ways that you begin to exercise your power is to speak words of authority. I want you to come up to this altar, and I want you to proclaim, in the name of Jesus, you can't have my children, you can't have my peace, you can't have my joy. You're not having my family. You're not having my soul. You're not gonna beat me up. You're not gonna. Come on. Do you have a promise right now? Do you have a promise? It's the promise worth fighting for. Somebody say it. Say, I'm going to proclaim it. I'm willing to fight. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak words of authority to this principalities and speak to him. You're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to take my prayer. I'm getting my prayer back. I'm getting my unction back. I don't care how good you are at praying. I don't care how much time you spend. There's more. There's a greater depth. There's a call to a higher place. Does somebody want that mountain? Do you know you're a great people? Do you know you have great power? God's given us a mountain, but I gotta fight the giants. Somebody speak to that mountain right now. Somebody speak to it right now. Say, mountain, you're mine. Come on, let there be a cry in this place. Come on, Dawson, let there be a war cry in this place right now. I'm not staying in the barracks. I'm not staying in the reserves. I'm ready for the fight. Put me in the front lines. Sarge, I'm ready to go. Easy. You're going to be weary. You're going to be tired. And you're going to say, well, maybe I'll pray tomorrow. No, no, there's a battle to be won. There's a mountain to be taken. I'm not going to compromise. I'm ready to fight. City's worth fighting for. My babies are worth fighting for. My marriage is worth fighting for. rising up. There's an army rising up. There is no retirement. There's no retirement in this army.